There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And you want to get in touch with the show today? Pretty easy. Phone line, phone number and text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. You've got the FM Talk 106.5 app. Well, good for you, first of all. If not, go download it. But when you're there, you can stream the station there. Of course, you can get all our social media feeds in one place, get our first place, our podcast post, or to the app. And you can also call or text from the app. But, dun-dun-dun, there's also a microphone icon on the bottom of the screen. If you press that, it'll let you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. So, good stuff. So, use that. Also, I just got this on the text line. Got a lot of text to get to, but Adam, with the traffic text here, Halls Mill is totally blocked just west of Azalea. So, both directions, Halls Mill is blocked. So, Adam, thank you for that update. As we get any information on that clearing, we'll let you know. All right. So, with that being said, and we will talk a little bit more about College Pick'em. Actually, I'm going to do this right now. Let's welcome to the show Mobile County Commissioner, District 3, Randall Dewitt. Good to see you.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Are you in the College Pick'em yet?
I'm not.
Okay. We're going to have to do that. Before you leave, we'll walk you through it and get you signed up.
Because that's fine.
I think we were at 800 people last year. And what's fun is, so we got this amazing prize from Spring Hill Ace Hardware, $1,500 worth of grills and coolers and cool stuff like that. But the beauty is, only one person wins that, but all football season long, if you're in, we just trash talk. It's just a lot of trash talk.
All of my friends are involved in it, and I don't want to get in it because I don't want to beat them out of the prize. You know, so I try to stay out of it.
Sounds like a Sullivan excuse there. Glad to get you back on the show.
Good to be here, man. Thanks for asking me to be here, and I always enjoy being on the show.
But I had a lot to talk about. I am going to start off with this one, a tale of what happened this summer. So my daughter says, Dad... She actually talked to me. It was good. So I have a teenager. You know how that is.
Yeah.
Dad, I stopped on the way to Dolphin Island. I went to a park, Dad. They've redone this whole park right before. She said, because she didn't know the causeway. She said, you know when the road gets narrow? She said, it's before that. I said, so to the north of that? She said, yeah, in that area. I went there. That park is awesome. She was at school, but she's not, you know, she doesn't listen to the show the way other people. And I was like, yeah, I know a little something about it. She's like, how do you know all that? And I said, well, the commissioner had been on the show. So, endorsed by my daughter as well. The revamp at
that's Bayfront. That's Bayfront Park, and it's turned out. I had a vision for that park, but I'm just going to be honest with you. My staff and the engineering staff that worked with us and the contractors that did that job, it went way beyond my expectations. I'm so proud of that park. I'm so proud of that beach. And you know what? A lot of people don't know. It ran short of a little money. I always brag about 90% of my projects in my district, and we don't get into the meat and potatoes of what we actually do, which is, I never bring up the fact that I'm paving 18 miles of dirt road in my district this year.
Yeah.
We don't talk about the hundreds of miles of roads that we're resurfacing, because I like to talk about the fun stuff, and this is some fun stuff. When you talk about parks and piers and boat ramps. So, you know, that park didn't cost the county taxpayer a dollar. That's all BP oil spill money. And it ran short, and we finished. And so I went back to Commissioner Blankenship with Alabama Department of Conservation Natural Resources and said, is there any way I can get any more money for the boardwalk? Because there's about an 1,100-foot boardwalk out there, if you recall, behind the old building. And at the time, it was like, no, we're just out. The BP money's gone. So I am glad to report that he was able to find a project that didn't go through and give me the money. And so starting, and we're going to wait to after Labor Day, we've already awarded the contract, and we're actually going to build a 1,400-foot boardwalk back nice. There with two pavilions, covered pavilions, and that construction will start in the first part of September. So shouldn't
it's going to get even better. Not,
yeah, and I want to say this, because I know that park was closed for a long time, mm-hmm. and it just that's just the way things end up happening sometimes, unfortunately, with permitting and you know you have to deal with when you're down there working on the water. What a lot of people don't realize, you have to deal with the Corps of Engineers, you have to deal with ADEM, and all of those things being on state right away, particularly Cedar Point Pier, mm-hmm. you have to deal with them, and you have to have permits from ADEM. So I mean from ALDOT. So, but. That's coming along, and the boardwalk should be finished. But with that being said,
I'm going to flex on that. I would say, hey, by the way, honey, there's also a boardwalk going in.
It will be. And I want to tell people it will not affect the opening and closure of the park. It'll be opened as usual. There'll be a little less parking because we're having to stage some of that area for construction material. But
it is, you know. And
tell your daughter thank you. Okay. I love that park.
Yeah, but it's interesting to, like, with what I do for a living, I know about some of these things beforehand, and so I kind of see it in a different way, to see it yeah. through the 19-year-old's eyes yeah. when she goes, Dad, there's this park. I'm like, yeah. Oh, well, tell me about it, kiddo.
It is. She's not kidding. Anyone who hasn't been down, go down, check it out. It's an awesome, I call quality of life thing for the mm-hmm. people who live, not just in South Mobile County, but all of Mobile County.
And so, yeah, so you got a seal of approval there. So it's good stuff. Yeah. And I do want to talk, if we have time later on, Cedar Point and all that. But, I emailed you, actually I texted you the other day, because reading a story in Lanyap this week, and this is something you've talked about in the past, but to see it here in print and see more, this is a question that you've posed maybe a year ago the first time, right? Mm-hmm. And this is about incentive money. And this has been the story of our state and our area, I guess for me, I think last 15 plus years, we're going to woo big businesses in. Okay. We're going to do tax incentives, get them in. And then the old idea is, okay, you get them in and then they go. Then they go they make the widget that they make. And we were always told that they're going to come in, make the widget. And then other businesses that don't have the incentive are going to come in around them. And that's where we're going to. But to see that these businesses in this list that I was reading this story are still getting this incentive money. Y'all, I read it, and then the commissioner can talk about it. And nothing wrong with the businesses, but when do we stop giving money to a ArcelorMittal, which is TK, or mm-hmm. you know something like that? I mean, that's been 20 years. That I know ArcelorMittal took it, but that plant has been there. We're pushing 20 years now, right?
Yeah, and I had questions when we did the last, because really we're not giving cash money, economic incentives there anymore, but we technically are.
If you don't,
because we're doing tax abatements there still.
Correct.
So, you know, and I said I wasn't going to use this word on the air, but I am going to use it on the air because it's what I feel like, and I usually speak my mind.
You do.
So, and I've posed this question at commission meetings. When does this become corporate welfare? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like
having, I don't have a tax abatement. I run a business in Mobile County.
It's like having a child. You know, at some point you expect that child to stand on their two feet. I'm not against any of these economic incentives, and I'm not against Airbus or TK any of these businesses.
But it is a question because you're doing this as a commissioner. You're looking at this. You got numbers and stuff in front of you. A lot of us will assume that there's these incentives to get that company in, but the legacy of tax abatement is mm-hmm. is surprising to me.
Well, we just abated 50, they had proposed to us an abatement of 11 through 20 year, and I backed it down and said let's do 11 through 15 and then we'll relook at it at that point. And again, it's not because I'm against them, but, you know, I think we should be doing the same thing for you. You have a local business.
I mean, there's local. This question comes up all the time, Commissioner. When I have these stories and like the news report will play and I'll say, so-and-so got this. And people are like, well, what about us? I've been here 20 years doing whatever they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. And I hire people. I've got 50 people working for me, you know, putting this in the economy. Where's my tax break? Yeah.
I don't disagree with you. I think we've got to incentivize multinational companies to come here. But we've also got to remember the backbone of our community is small businesses. It's not, I mean, they employ a lot of people, but if you do the math, small businesses employ probably four times more than these larger corporations that come here. But I want to.
The problem is we have all these, you know, and 100% that's been borne out nationally and here. Problem is we don't have one voice to speak with, you know, which, by the way, I got an idea for that down the road.
But. Well, I do want to emphasize that this is not against anybody that's here now. It's not against Airbus or Austal or the steel mill or any other company that we choose to incentivize in the future. But I also would like to see a balance.
Yeah, well, what about you incentivize us?
That's right.
I mean, that until you started talking about this, I don't think I'd ever seen an elected official talking about, hey, let's incentivize the people that aren't these big businesses.
Yeah. Well, and I think we're going to talk in a few minutes about another something that just happened. So,
yeah, I do. I will come back from the break here. I got some text to read as well, and we'll continue our conversation this hour with Mobile County Commissioner Randall DeWitt. Yeah, so all the times y'all said, hey, what about us in a small business? Well, commissioners talk about just that.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, glad to have you here. 343-0106, 343-0106. Our guest this hour, Mobile County Commissioner District 3, Randall DeWitt. Read a couple of texts here. This one from unnamed texter. Once again, y'all give yourself a nickname. Or first name or something on the text. It just kind of, I don't know, I like it more than unnamed texter. But this one says, my daughter and grandson and son-in-law spent Saturday recently at the park and had a great time at that park. My wife and I drove down after they informed us of how nice it was and everything and more that they described it as.
Great.
So now you've got grown-ups, kids.
Teenagers.
And teenagers.
It's good to have a teen. I have two teenagers, so it's good to have a teenager like something I did, because the two I have at home sure don't like nothing I do.
Well, see, if I would have told her about it, she would have never gone, but, you know, there's a different thing. And there's, people are sending in pictures from down at Bayfront Park.
Awesome.
Cool. Good stuff.
Thank you, everyone who's gone, and please, if you haven't, go and check it out. I mean, it's
an easy place to go to the beach, and if you, I mean, love going to the beaches of Dolphin Island, but if you're like, man, I don't go that far down right now or whatever, you can go right there and have a great day on the water.
It's got a it's got a playground, and
that's where you'll find me.
Oh yeah, it's a playground.
Or probably. Wade fishing there.
It's got a pirate flag, so I'm sure you'll be on it.
Yeah, that's right. I want to come back to this discussion here, and this text from David says, here's a novel idea. If the government entity does not need the tax revenue to the point that they can just give it away, why don't we just do away with tax altogether? Wouldn't that make us one of the most business-friendly areas in the country? I mean, he's making a point that if we can abate those taxes, you know, why do they exist?
Well, when you abate a tax, what you're doing is creating more tax base. You hope,
but only when it gets.
And it has been successful. When you have a multinational company come here and they relocate people here, which is another argument I've had, is a lot of people coming to these companies live in other counties. But it's been successful. When you do this, you create tax base. And the people who work for those companies, your hope is that they're going to buy a car in your community and pay the taxes. They're going to buy a house and pay the taxes. They're going to buy their groceries. They're going to take their wife out to eat or take their husband out to eat. That's the purpose of a tax abatement. It's not that the county can afford to survive without those taxes, but those abatements are going to create new jobs in your community. That's what a tax abatement is all about, creating new jobs, which creates new tax base.
Which is also true for all those people that go to work for a small business.
Yeah, that's correct.
They do those same things. They buy cars and all that.
And you're not hearing any arguments from me about that.
And you pointed that out. You and I talked beforehand. Some numbers here, y'all. I thought that was pretty interesting. If you do a breakdown on some of the incentive abatement dollars and what that equals for these bigger companies, and think about this for a small. So give me an idea. What are we talking about? How much, if you did it?
Well, let me start by talking about the two that I just did this past commission meeting that we passed that I'd been working on for over a year, trying to get abatements for a local, a third generation 45-year-old shipyard in, in the Code Inn area, Master Boat. They've been here forever.
Employ a bunch of people.
They do employ, and not only what do they employ now, which is nearly 400 people, but what have they employed in 45 years? How many people living in our community have benefited from working at this shipyard that pays taxes in our community? And so I got to looking, because Burden is a new shipyard here. They're not necessarily local, but they are. They never asked for an abatement before they got here. They came here. They bought a shipyard here. They've got a $1.7 billion contract with the Coast Guard to build cutters, river tender cutters. Mm-hmm. And so they came to me, and they asked for very little considering the amount of jobs that they're creating. And so that's where it really started with me to be able to open.
And you were getting a no on that.
Well, I was getting a no, and I'll be honest with you, I was a no myself at first. But then I came up with an idea that it would open the door for me to have an opportunity to do the same thing at Master, because I knew they had an expansion going on there because it's in my district, and I keep up with that. So I went to Master and the Rice family who owns it, and I said, listen, I think I'm going to be having an opportunity to do an economic incentive maybe for Burden. But I'm not going to do it if I can't do it for you.
Yeah.
If I can't get a vote to do it for you, then I'm not going to do it for them. I just wasn't going to. They're not a multinational company, but they're.
But
they're,
if the point is, like you said, incentivizing adding jobs and those people to the system, right. then it's apples to apples, yeah. then, right? How many jobs are we talking about?
That's a whole new business down there, a whole new company. They're going to be employing over 400 people there. They're also going to have over 60 Coast Guard. Enlisted Coast Guardsmen and women, I guess is what you'd call them, who are going to be moving to this area to be overseeing this, just like you do at Austell. They have Navy personnel there. They'll have Coast Guard personnel, about 60, I believe, at Burden. But the point was, I told Burden, I said, I'm not going to do it unless I can do something for some of these other shipyards in the area. I'm sorry, I'm just not. And so...
You weren't saying, no, I'm not going to do it for Burden, but you're saying, hey, while we're doing this, let's do it for the people that have been here.
And, well, it gave me an opportunity to open the door to do that, and I think it's going to be successful. They're doing about a around $10 million expansion, creating 130-some-odd new jobs above what they already have at Master. So... That's how it started, and it started a year ago, and it came up a couple weeks ago. I think there was, don't get me to lying because I don't want David Rogers from the chamber calling, but there was another economic incentive that came up on the agenda, and that gave me an opportunity to publicly say what I thought about it. And, you know, I brought up the fact that I'd been trying to fight for two local businesses for over almost a year, and you know, I said I'm not voting for another economic incentive for anybody until I get the ones I'm asking for these local businesses. And so last week, after much discussion, we were able to get that passed. And so we are, and I want to move more in that direction of incentivizing local companies. The thing about it, I feel this is just Randall's personal opinion.
Okay,
the further you get away from downtown. With jobs, and I'm not downing down. I'm talking.
I think I know where you're talking.
Airbus and Austell, because you'll find that maybe not a majority, but a great number of their employees actually live in Baldwin County, and I don't have any problem. Billy Joe Underwood is my cousin.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with Baldwin County, but I feel like I'll give you an example. At one time, it was about a 60-40 at Austell, 60% in Mobile, 40% in Baldwin County. Okay. Move on down to South Mobile County to the Walmart Distribution Center. 94% of their employees live in Mobile County, and probably 90% of those live in South Mobile County. So, again, it's not against anybody, but it's about trying to get to a position where we're doing as much for local businesses as we are multinational business.
Right. You're saying that what's good for the goose is good for the gander,
right.
in a way. It is interesting, too. I just, as you said that, as you move, I'm thinking about it, as you move away from that area right along the river and Brooklyn, It gets harder to.
That's right.
There's less attention sometimes.
It's easier to live.
Even though it's all Mobile County.
If you work at the Walmart distribution center or a shipyard in the Bayou or Codin, it's a lot easier to get home if you live in the Bayou or mm-hmm. you live in South Mobile County. If you work at Austell, it's easy to get to Baldwin County, so that's why a lot of people live it. And I'm not knocking that. I'm just.
So you're saying, but while we're doing that, for Mobile County as well. And we come back, I do want to talk about this, some of the numbers, because you talk about this. Back in June, you cast that protest vote against the AAA United States.
That's what it was. Thank you.
Yeah, foreign-owned aerospace affiliate, partnering with Airbus, wanted to launch a training center on Demetropolis. And you did some math here when we come back about how much was going to be per possible employee incentivized. And we'll break it down more when we come back to the commissioner right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, glad to have you along. Continue our conversation just a minute here with Mobile County Commissioner Randall DeWitt. First, let's check in with Blaine Price. He's at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale, and the L2502, you posted the price. You're telling everybody because it's a dang good deal. What are you letting these tractors go for?
These L2502, Sean, right now they're going cash price $19,999. That's for tractor and front end loader. Really good tractor for a hunting camp deal. Mm-hmm. This will be the perfect one. So you form it into a package, or you can buy just the tractor and loader. $19,999 is good right now with us.
And you've also, you talk about, making a package. How is the inventory on your rotary mowers, your discs, cultipackers, that kind of stuff?
We're good on all of it. We got everything pretty much you can put on a tractor. We got it in stock right now. Sprayers, spreaders, disc, tillers, cultivators, cultipackers, rotary mowers, bush hogs, box blades, pallet forks, grapples. We got it all. Some trailers. If you don't have a trailer, we can form it all the way up to a package with a trailer with it. And we are still offering the zero interest financing through Kubota on all of our Kubota tractors, zero turns, side-by-sides, even the construction equipment, the skid steers and mini excavators all qualify for that zero interest financing through Kubota still.
All right. Let's talk about this as well, because people were asking. They started asking me last week. They said, is Blaine going to do the 3 days for one deal over the Labor Day holiday? So what you doing?
We are. So you pick up any piece of rental equipment. It doesn't matter if it's a handheld power saw or if it's a trailer or a bulldozer, man lifts, whatever. You pick it up Friday after lunch, bring it back to us Tuesday morning before 10 a.m. That's three full days you'll have it, but you'll only be charged for one day of use. So if you're looking for any projects you got around the house or going to the hunting camp, definitely get in contact with us. Go ahead and get it on reservation, because this stuff, it is going quick with this deal this weekend.
Okay, well, give them a phone number. Tell them where to call right now.
We're right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59. Give us a call at 251-947-4171. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 8 till noon, and you can visit us online at ParrishTractor.com.
Thank you, Blaine.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine over at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Continue our conversation with Mobile County Commissioner, District 3, Randall DeWitt. I want to do this because there's a lot of stuff I want to get into before we run out of time this hour, but you did the math. So this is when y'all can read this story over at Lanyap as well, but this is what got my attention. It said in a June 5th meeting, DeWitt, that's you, cast a protest vote against a $125,000 grant to AAA United States Incorporated, a foreign-owned aerospace affiliate partnering with Airbus to launch a training center on Demetropolis Road. So why'd you launch that protest vote?
Well, because I was in the midst of attempting to get, and had been for months master. Before that, for Master and Burden. And so, you know, it wasn't that I was against this coming here, but, you know, sometimes when you want to get the same thing for these local businesses and local companies that I was trying to get it for, then it was just a protest. And go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
All I was going to say is, if I had not gotten this, I would have never voted for another economic incentive for anybody until I got these that I was asking for, unless it was some other local entity. And that was just going to be my – I may not have could have stopped them, but I was going to vote no, and the media was going to ask me why I voted no every time, and I'd be on the news saying why I voted no.
And you pointed out in this the amount of money – you did some basic math here about how much money was going to be granted here and what that would equal per job. I thought that was pretty telling, too.
Yeah.
What are we looking at?
You know, what you're buying is jobs, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, you're buying a job.
Good. That's putting the hay down there where the horses get after it. That's
When I started looking at the incentives, and I'm not going to name businesses because I don't want this to start sounding like I'm against somebody, but other incentives that we had done in the past, we were paying about $10,000 per new job that they were creating. And that's a lot of money. It takes a long time to get $10,000 back in tax revenue. And then I started looking at the ones I was asking for. Now, remember, this was at $350,000, and I actually ended up compromising and giving each of those shipyards $250,000, so it's even less. But for the new jobs that Master was going to create, it came out to about $4,000 per job, which is a lot less money. And even at Burdon, it was even less than that. It was, about $2,500 per job that new job they were creating. So it just seemed unevenly sided to me that we were willing to pay $10,000 for a new job at ABC Company, but Master Boats, we weren't willing to pay $3,000 for a new job.
No, when I read that story about what you did, that got my attention, because that's something I could understand a little bit more. You know, all right. Go to the text line here. Questions for you. Jay is asking you. He said he's been on the list for getting dirt road paved. Is dirt road paved in the county? How long? How do they determine which roads get paved and when?
So we have a grading system, and I don't know if he'll text you the name of the road. I'll look into it, and a phone number. I'll certainly call him and find out if he's even. He could be already on the list. It takes a couple years to get a road paved on Pago, but we have a grading chart, and we go through, and it's a 1 through 10, and our public works
10 is the most,
10 is the worst, and 1 being the best. And
number 10's
gonna get paid before number 1.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Well, what we do is we do a determination of how much money it costs the county to maintain that dirt road. And just for the record, I live on a dirt road,
I live right across.
You live right across from me
you
on, the
on a dirt road. Yeah, we both live on dirt roads.
But that doesn't mean that I don't want everybody's roads to get paved. I do. We just have a lot of dirt roads, and I think when I first got elected, just to give people an idea, it cost about $1 million to grade, base, and pave a mile of dirt road. It was $1 million
a mile.
A mile. Now it's about $2.5 million
a mile.
And that's not even taking into consideration if you have a drainage issue. I've got a 2 mile stretch of road in my district right now. I'm having to break up in two different Pago programs because just the drainage, because of the location of the road, 2 miles of that road is $7 million to grade, drain, and base.
Wow. Pave.
But anyway, to get to the...
So I'm just going to start riding down paved roads and going, 1 million, 2
yeah,
million,
that's
3
right.
million.
For every mile you go, it was 1 million, but it's going up. So how we do that is we figure up how much it costs our public works department to maintain that
to
road.
Run the,
and they give us a list. And the roads that each commissioner gets to pick, once we go through Pago, you got what you call countywide projects, which is something that's vital to the entire county. All three districts.
Yeah.
Maybe a major, let's say Airport Boulevard, because it's on Pago. There's a plan to widen it all the way out to past Eliza Jordan out towards Newman. That's the next Pago project for Airport Boulevard.
It's going to be needed, too.
It is needed.
There are hundreds and hundreds of houses going in.
It is, and it's needed, and it's on the program. But this is not a bad thing. It's kind of a good thing when your growth is out. It's a bad thing because your infrastructure isn't ready, but it's growth out there just happened overnight.
It really did.
And it got so busy, and that's why I went ahead and improved that intersection there at Eliza Jordan Airport, because that was not in the plan. I had to pull that out and do it individually, separate from the widening plan, just because traffic had gotten so heavy.
I can't imagine with what it is now, what it would be like if that hadn't been done.
Well, let me finish real quick. Okay. So we take that, and they give me a list of every dirt road in my district. They grade it out, give it a number, and I usually try to take the highest numbers and whatever amount of money I have and how far it'll go, I pick the ones with the worst that cost us the most to maintain. And that's really, it's all about the money. It's about, you know, if we're spending $300,000 a year to maintain one certain dirt road and it's way up on the list, well, I want to get it paved so we don't have to continue to pay that cost.
This unnamed texter here said, to ask the commissioner, what can you do about the Mobile County Urban Development Inspection Department permitting? They make it so hard to do work in Mobile County.
Well, that is a complaint that I hear all the time, and I work very closely. Sometimes it's manpower shortages. Sometimes I don't even myself understand why it's so difficult to get. I'm just being blunt. I don't understand. Trust me, I've had to go through the permitting process myself. I will say that I feel like, and I'm not just making this up on my own, I have had contractors call me. Had one call me yesterday and tell me that he feels like it's easier to get a permit than it was before I got elected. I don't know if that's the case, but I have worked with them. I've met with them to see if it's an employee problem. You know, if we don't have enough employees, well, let's hire some people. Let's get it done. You know, I tell these guys all the time, you know, we are here to, you know, particularly when it comes to commercial permits, people are building businesses, and those businesses pay taxes, and those taxes
kind of goes back to the previous discussion.
Pay our salary, you know.
Yeah, it goes back to the previous discussion. Yeah. These people, they got to build the thing so the jobs can be there. Well, I even know that. I mean,
well, we have a good team out there. I know they sometimes get a bad rap, and but anybody that has an issue getting a permit, you know, a lot of times, sometimes you'll find, you know, when people call, I can't get my permit, and my survey company or my engineer said this or that, and so I'll call my department, and comes to find out, sometimes the truth isn't coming from the individual's engineer or builder. You know, they'll say, well, I submitted this 6 weeks ago, and you go to look, and they've never submitted anything to the county.
So there's that.
I think we come to become the scapegoat a lot.
Okay. Coming right back with Commissioner Dewitt right here on Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Last segment here with Commissioner Dewitt, our guest, 343-0106. And I probably cannot get to all the people that agree with my daughter are Bayfront Park fans. This one's good, though. Michael, giving an extra shout-out, said, thank you, Mr. Dewitt, and his assistant, Danny Moore, from me and my kids. They absolutely love the new Bayfront Park.
Well, thank Danny.
You've got a hit here.
Thank Danny for anything good that comes out of my office, because without her, I would be lost.
like I said, now you're getting all you got adult like Michael who likes it, and you've got my 19-year-old teenager who likes it. Wow. Tim says, Sean, ask Randall why him and Connie Hudson signed over the right-of-way to the lake. How stupid can you get?
I'm glad this came up today, because I've said this even on social media the last couple weeks, because I wasn't running for office, but I got drug into basically running for office over this Big Creek Lake issue. And I'll say this to Tim or anybody else. Just because you tell the same lie over and over doesn't make it the truth. And I have dates here, and I'm going to give you these dates. I want the public to understand, number one, the county has zero authority over malls to close or open that lake. I found out about the lake being closed on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But for everyone who continues to say the county vacated the road to the lake was closed when the county vacated that road. That road did not, at the portion that Randall was involved in vacating, mm-hmm. did not go to the lake. I'm not saying previous parts of that road weren't vacated that went there, but the portion that I voted to vacate
did not go,
did not go to the lake. Furthermore, the lake was closed. The lake was closed. The lake closed for the first time in June of 2021, okay?
Yeah, they had the first closure, I remember.
That's
then
right.
They did the mitigation on, was it Giant Salvinia or whatever, and then reopened it.
Yes, well, right. But here's what happened. Here's what people aren't telling, and this is a side that I want to get out for me, to defend me, I guess.
Okay.
It closed in 2021 in June. We vacated the road. We started the vacation process in November of 2021. We voted to vacate the road on February the 22nd of 2022.
Okay.
All right. The lake was still closed about 4 months after we vacated the road, and the agreement, and I don't know who I talked to, but let me say this. I've never sit down with anybody at malls. I've never been to their office. They've never come to my office. There was never some back door, back room conspiracy to vacate the road to close a lake. The lake was closed when the county vacated the road. And my understanding of that,
they were vacating the road, just for anybody, that means the county surrendering.
That's right.
Control, upkeep.
It's not the only road. There's usually a vacation. If you watch our agenda, there's usually some sort of vacation all the time.
And that just means surrendering.
Surrendering that portion of the road.
I just make sure
and
I had
the malls own the property on both sides of the road. We didn't block anybody from their property. The big thing to get out of this is the road that I voted to vacate did not go to the lake. Trust me, I wish we could unvacate it, but that's not even a legal thing to do. If I ever had one thing to take back is vacating the road, because then there would be no argument that the county had anything to do, which we didn't. The lake was closed 4 months after we vacated it. My understanding was they were going to build this boat wash, which mm-hmm. they did. 4 months after we vacated the road, they built the boat wash, if everybody recalls. Then they opened the lake back up. The lake was opened essentially because they built the boat wash and we vacated the road.
That you would vacate the road and they would build the boat.
That's a question that I asked when I was asked about the vacation. I was like, and that's what I was told. They're going to build a boat wash and they're going to open the lake, which they did.
The other side of that equation was they're building the boat wash if y'all vacate the road. Okay.
But let me say this. Had we never vacated the road, the lake would still be closed today. The lake would not be open because our road, and I went down because I heard this complaint over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down there with a deputy, and I took me down there, and I took pictures of the sign where the county maintenance ended. There was rumors that the county had used PAYGO funds to pave that parking lot, which was not true.
Okay.
You could distinctly see where the county's road ended and the parking lot began, where malls begin the maintenance of their parking lot. But anyway, the road vacation has nothing to do with Big Creek Lake closing. Had we not vacated, the lake would still be closed under malls' authority, not under our authority. But the lake opened.
Y'all don't have authority over malls.
None at all. After we vacated the road, 4 months later, malls opened the lake. It was opened until February of this year. From 2022 to February of 2025, that lake was open with the road vacated. It's not. I don't know where all these stories come from, but that's just the facts. And if anybody can't accept the facts, they just can't accept the facts.
Well, it's good to get you on to talk about that, and I'm glad Tim asked the question, because things get out there, and I don't know about, and I'm somebody who does this for a living, I don't know about the county's vacation of road process. Yeah. I mean, I'm ignorant to it, and I don't have a reason to know. Now I know something I didn't know.
We've vacated roads that were county roads that ran to all this forever wild mm-hmm. property that the state owns,
mm-hmm.
and really when you vacate the road, it's because if somebody owns a property on both sides of the road and nobody else goes down there, other than this one's a little different. Let me continue on with this, mm-hmm. and I'll say this. The only way that the county can now go back and unvacate, that's not even a real thing, unvacate the road, is to go to court. And if a judge says, hey, you've got to take it back and orders Moss to give the road back, we'll gladly take it back. I would take it back tomorrow if I could. Just to end the controversy and get the county out of the middle of the Big Creek Lake controversy.
But that's still, even if y'all did that, that still doesn't mean the lake would... There's nothing that you're doing at the county that's going to open or close it.
There's nothing that we... If we took the road back tomorrow, the lake, which the gate that was there previously, mm-hmm. would still be there and the lake would still be closed. And I'm sorry that the lake's closed. Just because I can't do anything about it doesn't make me the enemy of Big Creek Lake. And I've told somebody on the phone.
Would you like
this morning,
the lake to be open?
I would love. What people don't realize is, although I tell people all the time, I grew up in Theodore. I'm from Wheelerville,
mm-hmm.
and I learned how to swim at Big Creek Lake. I caught probably my first fish at Big Creek Lake. I'm not an enemy of the people, and they have a right to feel however they want to feel. And just because I can't make Moss open the lake doesn't make me your enemy. So I'm not defending Connie. Connie can defend herself. I'm defending Randall because I've been drug into this as if I had some backdoor deal with Moss to shut people out from fishing. And let me continue. We just talked about Bayfront Park, which has kayak access to the bay. Okay. I've built two boat ramps. I've got two pieces of property that the county has purchased to build boat ramps. I bought the Cedar Point Pier for people to fish. I'm the last person that anybody could say doesn't like fishing and doesn't like outdoorsmen and fishermen. So,
there you go.
Thank you.
I'm sorry we're running out of time, but we will get you back soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Commissioner DeWitt, thank you. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.